Hey there.
What's going on, man?
Well, the house is a disarray.
Yeah, still working on the construction remodel.
We are doing that, and as things go, every time that we start to get close to getting something done, Lulu's like, "Why don't we just do the floors in this room too?"
Yeah, it just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, so now we're moving furniture from one room to another, and it's a big mess, but
Wait till she decides the furniture doesn't match. Then the drapes don't match. Then the kitchen doesn't match the living room. Yeah.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
So,
Might as well buy a whole new dang house.
Don't
No?
even suggest
No?
that.
Is that
That's
already
like,
crossed your mind?
that is
That's already
like,
been a
well,
possibility.
we've got, yeah, I mean, we looked at a couple, we are always kind of looking around for
Yeah.
different houses to see if we can get a good deal. But I just, I told her, I said, let's just settle on this for a while. The next one has to be by a beach.
There you go. Okay. Fair enough. Well, anything else happening exciting happened this week or just dealing with the construction stuff?
Lubu's is picking up.
Yeah.
She's starting to make some good contacts, and she's got several people following her now that have some pretty good acting and dance credentials. Their IMDb's are pretty full. So that's pretty exciting,
Yeah.
that that she's getting some recognition.
Yeah, that is exciting. So those can-can boots, I learned all about them. It was a fun deal.
Yeah, well, I think in 2 years it's going to be bigger than JB Case's.
You think so?
I believe it.
All right, I believe you. Well, we'll see if your prediction's right. I think it's going to take longer than 2 years to be bigger than JB Cases, but it could be maybe.
Well, it depends. A lot of these, a lot of the dancers are very active on social media, so that's one of the things that they do is they're constantly showing off their gear, and they're constantly showing off their clinics that they go to, and the classes that they do, and the productions they're in, a lot more than pool players. So I think that that what she's selling right now has a much bigger chance to go viral in a much bigger way
Well,
and
that'll be
be
exciting.
sustainable.
That'll be exciting. I'm Scott Hess, tax and business consultant.
I'm John Barton, small business owner. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race.
We started Turtle Smith to help people start small businesses, providing information and resources to small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Build a solid foundation and forge your dreams.
Well, this week we're talking about licenses and permits. It's step two, phase two. And in this step, you need to learn about all the licenses and permits that your business needs and make sure that you have good timelines for them. That's one of the things that'll really screw people up is they'll get ready to open their business and then they'll figure out they need a permit and it takes 8 weeks to get and they have to sit on their thumbs until they can get it. So I'm going to just give some examples of different licenses and we'll kind of go through your business, Chester's, and the different entities that it has to deal with. But there are way too many permits and licenses, and they're different in every city and every county and every state. And so it's just impossible to give everybody like an overview of exactly what they need.
And they're not always, it feels like that these entities don't always treat people the same when it comes to the licensing or the regulations.
That would be accurate. Yeah, some people get special rules. And you, as a small business owner, will not get any of those. So you have to follow the letter of the law. And if you don't do everything correctly, you're going to get penalties and fines and sometimes shut down.
Well, speaking of Chester's, we had a longtime employee there. He had his liquor license. In Oklahoma, you have to renew every year. And the last time he went to renew, he got denied because in Oklahoma we have laws that say if you were convicted of a felony, you can't work as a bartender. You can't serve alcohol.
Which was crazy because didn't it happen a long time ago as well?
Yes, and that's the thing. If you read the letter of the law, then he is in full compliance. He has not been in any trouble in the last 5 years. He hasn't, and the actual conviction was like 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
And he's had his license the whole
The
time.
whole time he's had
They've
his
never had a
license,
problem with him.
never had a problem, never been in any other trouble with the law. And the law states the in order to get the license, you must have not had any issue inside of the 5 years prior to getting the license.
Yeah, and so he had no problems.
So he's had no problem for 20 years.
Just ding him on some old stuff.
And they basically said because it was a felony, and he has no way to appeal it. He has no good way to appeal it, right? Yeah. There's no process in place. So he has to basically hire an attorney and try to get it expunged.
Which then costs a fortune.
Yeah. So he's basically out of the industry at this point.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. The licenses are just crazy. And if you're not up to date with them, things like that happen, unfortunately. Well, the first kind of type of license we're going to talk about is professional licenses. If you're getting into a small business, you probably already have these kind of licenses. But things like contractor's license, HVAC repair, plumbing, trades have a lot of those. Or if you're a doctor or a lawyer, or if you are a CPA, you have to have proper licenses. Yeah, even if you cut hair, you have to have a cosmetic license. So if you're getting into that industry, you probably already discovered that. But there are tons of different licenses that you have to have. And you need to check with your city, your county, and your state to verify whether you need them. And, of course, the federal regulations as well. There's some federal licenses that you have to hold. The best way to kind of figure out whether you need these type of licenses is just to call. Google, look online, find different industry sites. They'll tell you. Or you can just ask questions. I went down to the city to check to see if I needed a general business license. Some cities require that. And we're in a small suburb of Oklahoma City. And so they have different rules than Oklahoma City does. And I have to follow the Bethany, Oklahoma rules, not the city of Oklahoma City rules, So the best way for me to find out is I went down to the city hall and I just talked to people. I asked them whether we needed certain licenses or not.
So an interesting story on that, since we're talking about the house. Mm-hmm. When we bought this house here, we had some plumbing that needed to be done in the old house before we could sell it to get it into shape. And I just looked in the phone book. There's a plumber right down the street from my current house, mm-hmm. here in Bethany. And I called him up. And he said, I would love to do that, except I am not licensed to practice plumbing in Midwest City.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. I just thought, well, if you're a plumber, you should be able to practice anywhere in the state.
Yeah, which Midwest City is another suburb of Oklahoma City.
Right.
Which, that's ridiculous. Yeah, you should just be licensed to practice everywhere, but you have to get different licenses for different cities. It's wild. Yeah. So you also need to look into your different permits and licenses that you might need. So some common examples of business permits are like health permits, with the county if you're serving food or anything like that. Alcohol permits if you're serving alcohol. If you have any waste that you're disposing of, like especially water waste, you'll have to deal with environmental permits. In Oklahoma, depending on the type of water waste, there's like several different departments that you'll have to deal with. Department of Environmental Quality or the I think it's the Oklahoma County Commission, something like that. FDA permits if you're doing food. And then one, if you have a retail shop, you typically have to get a business or a certificate of occupancy, and that's from the fire marshal. Usually that's when you go in places and you see the sign that says like 168 people can fit in this shop. And then different licenses, again, your alcohol licenses. And if you're dealing with any, controlled substances, like in Oklahoma, we have a lot of medical marijuana people. So they have to get OB&DD licenses, which is the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. And you may have to get like driving permits, CDLs. Again, there's way too many to list on the different things that you're going to need. So the best thing to do is just call or talk to people in the industry and find out exactly what all you need.
I know that I had a place in Midwest City for my case business, and it just so happened that I don't know how this would happen, but the timing was whenever I would be driving to work, I would often see the fire marshal. Mm-hmm. Outside of my business, and I would just keep driving.
Yeah.
And I managed to avoid that for about 6 or 7 months, but then he finally caught us open.
Yeah.
And as predicted, we weren't in compliance with the fire extinguishers and certain things, and so we had to get that done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's not usually advisable. You should get all your ducks in a row beforehand. But it's actually kind of interesting right now. The fire marshal, they are backed up 2 years on inspections for marijuana grows here in Oklahoma. So people are struggling to get certificates of occupancy and stuff so that they can run their business. I think they even had to go to court recently. There was everybody's license who didn't have a certificate of occupancy had to schedule a hearing to get an extension so that they could get it.
See, now I think that's one thing where government should be, you know, we're kind of veering into politics here, but I think that's something where government should be forced to be responsive to that, you know. So if there's that much demand, right, then they should have to hire people
Well, I think that's a problem again. It's only so many fire marshals can be like in existence in a certain area. And then a lot of these grows are outside the city, so it's just the state fire marshal who up until now had very little to do, and now all of a sudden there's 5,000 grow operations in Oklahoma. So
that
just
sounds like that
it's gone wild.
That sounds like an opportunity maybe for private businesses to step up and get some government contracts to do private inspections.
It would be great, but I think the state, Oklahoma anyway, has decided they don't want to do that because then they probably make less money.
Well, I'm sure I'm sure they would figure out a way to make the business owner pay for it and by extension the consumer.
Probably, probably. One of the more important ones that we want to talk about, though, is sales tax permits, and particularly the economic test. And that has just recently occurred. So if you need a sales tax permit, it all depends on whether you have what's called a nexus. And a nexus is just ties to the state that you're in. So before 2018, it used to be just a physical presence. So if you had a physical shop or a physical location, you had to charge sales tax to sales within that state. And so here in Oklahoma, if you had like a retail store that you were selling your cases out of, then you would have to have a sales tax permit. But if you were just selling online, you didn't need a sales tax permit. Well, with the expansion of online sales, you know, Oklahoma, or with Amazon and all the big ones, there was a court case called South Dakota versus Wayfair, where they decided that the physical presence test was no longer the only thing that they were going to worry about. They were now going to have an economic test. And so if you do sales meeting the economic threshold, then you have to have a sales tax permit in that state and collect sales tax. And the economic test is different, again, in every single state.
Of course it is.
And it depends on usually two different factors, sales or number of transactions. So in Oklahoma, for example, if you sell over $100,000 worth of goods in Oklahoma in a given month, I believe, then you have to have a sales tax permit in Oklahoma. And California is like $500K for sales. And then like some states like Utah is $100K in sales or 200 separate transactions.
So, yeah, I just want to clarify that a little bit. So in Oklahoma, for example, are we just speaking of just online sales?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, online
sales.
Like
I don't have a physical store.
Yeah, selling to consumers in that state.
Right. So now how would that work exactly? Is there... Let's say I sell $98,000 worth of stuff. I don't have to collect sales tax?
So I believe it's an average over a few months. And we can get those rules and make sure that they're on there. But you need to look up your individual
states. Do you
have
to go back then and charge people sales tax?
No. You just, once you meet the threshold, then you start having to collect sales tax for all future sales and moving forward.
Okay, so it would be an average over an annual period over a particular period?
Yeah, or I think once you meet that threshold, then you have to start. Then you have to apply for a sales tax permit and start doing it. Now, there are some businesses who still get away with it if they're right in that kind of level. Really, everybody just wanted the Temu money and the Amazon
and this kind of goes, yeah,
that kind of stuff.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, this kind of goes back to in the old days before this, if you were doing interstate commerce, there was basically no federal sales tax. So
right.
You didn't charge people if you're shipping out of state.
Mm-hmm.
But with the advent of Amazon and other entities being able to sell so much into a state, you know, across state lines, basically, cities, towns, and states started losing out on that sales tax revenue. So less money spent at Target, more money spent at Amazon, you know, means less tax revenue.
Correct. Now, most of the small business people that we're dealing with are not going to have to worry too much about this because their sales are not going to be that much in one state. But if you grow and you do see quite a bit of sales from a particular area, you need to pay attention to what that threshold is.
Now, how would a small business owner know how do they, is this something that's in the accounting software generally these days?
Typically, or? It's in a POS system. So you should have reports for like certain states within your point of sale system. Or accounting software of some kind. If you sell on Amazon or something like that, they'll usually automatically do it. A lot of businesses too, like specific industry ones, will automatically collect the taxes that are relevant. So like my brother uses this software called Orderport, which is specific for wine, and they know all of the right taxes to withhold in certain areas.
That was going to be my next question, is how do you know that whatever software you're using is up to date with all that? Like are you liable, for example, to be dinged by another state for not collecting sales tax for their state?
Yeah, you can get dinged by states for not collecting the sales tax in that state if you are supposed to, if they say that you do have an economic or a physical nexus in that state, then you're going to have to start collecting sales
tax. And does
tax.
It extend all the way to counties and cities? And
no,
towns?
So that's just per state. So if you sell, no matter how much it is in that state, it doesn't matter the county or city. So it's just in that state whether you have to have a sales tax permit. And then if you have to have a sales tax permit in that state, then you do have to pay attention to each city and county that you're selling in and collect those different sales tax. So like Oklahoma right. City has several different ones. You know, we have a county tax and then we have a city tax sometimes. So
now I know that whenever I used to do shows, the promoters would always hand us out the tax forms, and it was basically a voluntary thing. You filled out how much your sales were, and then you remitted to the promoter the amount that you declared that you sold.
Right.
And as far as I know, you know, nobody that I know ever got checked on that. But I imagine that it was possible.
It very rarely would do they check into that on the economic side, unless you're a very large online business selling stuff. The more common test that you need to pay attention to is the physical nexus. So if you have a physical store that you're selling stuff out of that store, then you have to collect sales tax. So if you have a manufacturing shop or something like that where you're making stuff and then selling online, you don't need one unless you meet the economic threshold. But if you have a physical presence, you know, like an actual retail store or an actual manufacturing facility here, then you have to collect sales tax.
Okay, well, that's actually very important, I think, you know, especially in light of the court case that you said.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, small business owners. Don't get caught because it could get expensive.
Yeah. So, and it is important to note too that if your business is here and you have a physical nexus, like a shop that's manufacturing them here and then selling online, you still have to collect sales tax for the online sales for that state. So like a t-shirt shop, for example, that has like a, you know, a warehouse, they don't have an actual retail storefront, but they're manufacturing that good, then they still have to collect the sales tax for sales done in Oklahoma.
So would you say is that definitely something that someone should hire an accountant to look at?
If it's in a gray area, you should definitely talk to somebody who's in the know, an accountant or a consultant or something like that, if it's in a gray area. For sure, if you have a retail storefront, you have to have sales tax permit, no question there. If you're manufacturing and selling online in the state and you have a physical store or shop, physical shop rather, in the state, then you're supposed to collect sales tax. Now, if it's a couple transactions, mostly you're selling online and away, you're probably going to be able to skate by, but you should still get it if you're supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's sales tax permits. Next, I just want to mention kind of all the different things that you have to deal with. So as an example, you have Chester's, which is a bar and grill. It's a pool hall, and you also have a limited service restaurant where you just serve, you know, some fried foods and burgers and stuff like that. It's not a full service restaurant. But your limited service restaurant, this is just a few of the main ones that you have to deal with. And so you have to deal with the ABLE Commission here in Oklahoma for your liquor license. Mm-hmm. And then you have to deal with the Oklahoma County Health Department for your health permit. Mm-hmm. Those are both renewed every year. Then you have to deal with the Oklahoma Tax Commission. We have to report your sales tax and your mixed beverage tax. And then we have to do withholding taxes and income taxes. And you have to report those. Well, the sales tax and mixed beverage and withholding Sales tax and mixed beverage are done monthly. Withholding is done quarterly, and then the income taxes once a year. And then you have to deal with the fire marshal for your certificate of occupancy. You have to deal with the city of Oklahoma City because you have to have a coin-operated amusement machine permit for your pool tables. Those are $9. You get little stickers every year. Yep. Then you have to deal with employment issues with the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission, which handles Oklahoma unemployment. The employee that you mentioned earlier who got terminated because of his license collected unemployment for a while against our company, so we had to deal with that. And then, of course, all the other federal labor laws and stuff, which is the OSHA, Department of Labor, and the EEOC that you have to deal with. And then finally, the IRS. And those are just... Those are most of them, but I don't think, I'm sure I missed a couple that you have to deal with.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Oklahoma City, for example, you have the coin operated machine permit that you have to do for the vending machines, mm-hmm. but you also have to have a business license mm-hmm. for Oklahoma yep. City. You have to have a certificate of compliance for Oklahoma City that says that you have a liquor license.
Yep.
So you have to, and it's convoluted because you have to go to the, you have to go get your liquor license. Then you take your liquor license to Oklahoma City, but you have to actually print an ad in the paper
yeah.
to give the public basically notice that you're applying for this license. And then once you get that, then you get your certificate of compliance.
And there's a lot of things you have to do. We have to print those ads in the news. I don't get why we still do that in 2024, but it's still the rules.
It's the rules, you know, and fire marshal, for example, certificate of occupancy is only one thing. You mm-hmm. also have to make sure that all of your sprinklers, you have to get a tag for that. All of your fire extinguishers have to be up to date. Your yep. fire suppression system, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, and if you don't properly plan,
your grease traps have to be, you know, yep. Compliant.
If you don't properly plan for all of these, or you miss one, it can shut your whole business down. Which almost happened to you on the liquor license for a little bit, didn't it?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. We had mm-hmm. you hired the catering company to come in and do beer for a little while.
We did. We had to do that, which cost us more money for about mm-hmm. 2 months. We paid more, and just to get to illustrate how much of a hassle that was. Under the law, if you do that with a catering company, they have to remove all of the alcohol every night and bring it in every morning.
Yeah.
They can't leave it overnight in the building.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that, you know, even if it's locked up.
Such a huge pain. The other important thing to kind of think about on all of these is when you're opening a new spot or you're doing your business plan is the timing, because you have to have some of these permits before they release other permits. So like you have to have a sales tax permit before you can get some of your other permits from the city. And like you said, you have to get your liquor license and then you get your certificate of compliance to show that you have it. So you need to plan out for when you're going to apply for these and when they're going to come inspect and when you're going to get them. Because some of these, like the health permit, you have to be pretty much done with your construction or at least working on it and submit the plans before they'll come out.
Yeah. You know, as you explained earlier, you know, there's a lot of marijuana related businesses that are, everything's done except they don't have their certificate of occupancy.
Yep.
That's it. We had a situation where, let me see if I remember what I was going to say. I think I lost my train of thought there, but it was, the Oklahoma one was, we couldn't get our business license from the city of Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
until we had our ABLE license. And then with that, we had to then print the advertisement, as I said. So there was that. And then there was one other thing that I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was...
We had such a hard time, too, getting your liquor license and your coin-operated machine ones renewed because our sales tax permit had the wrong name on it for a little while. We had the business name, the LLC name, and then we were using, you know, DBA Chester's, but our sales tax permit just said our business name. That's it right. Didn't have the DBA in there, so we had to get a whole new sales tax permit from the county, and they took forever to get that to us before we could even reapply for some of these. It's such a catch-22. It's a real hassle.
Oh, it can be. Yeah, earlier we were discussing, you know, how much of how difficult it would be to have some company that knows all these things for all these different permits for all the different businesses, you know. And you know, we said, well, it might not be impossible, but it would be incredibly impractical, you know. But there are companies, for example, in Oklahoma City or Oklahoma that specialize in making sure that your business is compliant for liquor licenses.
Yeah.
That make sure that every single year it never expires, mm-hmm. that all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted.
Yep.
And for that, you know, he charges anywhere from, you know, $500 to $5,000, you know, depending on the size of your business.
Yep.
But the whole purpose of that is just so that the business owner like myself doesn't have to worry about what happened to me, where when it expires, now things are really much more difficult to renew it.
Yeah. And they have a lot of those for specific industries. So like that one for the liquor license, they also have ones for OMMA compliance to make sure that they're following all the medical marijuana authorities rules. So there's a lot of industries out there, and definitely if you're doing something complicated like a restaurant that needs a lot of different permits, it's worth talking to a professional or hiring a consultant or even hiring those people just to handle the compliance. But that's just one part of it, just the liquor license. You have to get a whole nother company to make sure you're following the health permits and everything else.
So I think this would be an important point to say to people. Another resource that may be available are industry associations, you know, like
Definitely.
The Oklahoma City Restaurant Association or the State Restaurant Association, mm-hmm. or, you know, there are groups, trade groups that sometimes they're free. Sometimes they require, you know, a small membership fee, but the bonus is that they have people that are working on those things. A lot of times they're also lobbying on the behalf of the industry to reduce the burden of some of the onerous regulations and some of the confusing ones that are hard to deal with.
Yeah, definitely important to attend those meetings. Sometimes they'll have meetings and stuff like that, or join those organizations. So those things can be very helpful.
As well, those organizations can be a great source of networking.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can find out how other people have dealt with these things. But beyond that, you can just meet people and talk about general business things that could be very helpful to you.
Yeah, absolutely. During this step, the end goal is to kind of figure out what licenses and permits you need. But also, you need to really look down at whether there's a barrier to entry on the licenses. So there are some licenses and permits that are just impossible to get, that you just won't be able to get. Like, they only have so many. You told that story about the Airbnb in Vegas, I think the last time. Impossible. You were not getting a short-term rental license for your location because they're only doing so many.
You know, just to remind everyone, you know, on that one, we had bought a house with the intention of turning it into an Airbnb for businesses like ourselves who mm-hmm. had too many people, you know, to make it affordable to get everybody hotel rooms for a 10-day stretch. So we bought a house with the idea of we can use it ourselves for the 2 months that we're there, not all in one stretch, you know, but
yeah, part a couple weeks here and there, and then
right.
Airbnb
and then
at
the other times we would rent it out, and we endeavored to make it really business friendly, the house with the high speed internet, everything, conference room, you know, table, that sort of thing. And just at random one night, you know, we were coming in after a show and the TV was on, and it was on to the local public access channel. And they were literally having a hearing about short-term rental licenses. And it just so happened that the people that were applying for the short-term rental license, they had made a law that said you could not have a short-term rental license in the county that I was in within, I believe it was 600 yards of any other short-term rental license. Now, at that point, we had not even known that we needed a short-term rental license.
Yeah, you know? You just thought you could do it.
Yeah, I just thought Airbnb, you know, it was no big deal.
Uh-huh.
So obviously that was a huge mistake on my part not to even check into that to see whether or not any licenses were required. And it turns out that before I bought the house, that approximately a year before, that ordinance had passed in the city or in the county. And these guys were Boy Scouts. I mean, they were literal, you know, highly decorated military veteran and I mean, just the most upstanding people you could imagine for this sort of thing. And the city councilman told him, he said, well, you know, there's somebody that's, you know, right near you within the 600-yard limit that already has a short-term rental license. And then the attorney speaks up for these gentlemen and he says, but that person is not using it and does not intend to use it. So basically that person applied for and got the license preemptively to stop anyone else within a 600 yard radius of getting a license, which also, by the way, would have included us.
Yeah.
So the next day I started calling around, and that was basically the consensus, is that, sorry, it's impossible. We don't even want to take your money.
Yeah, you know, it's just a full attorney. Stop.
Yeah.
It happens all the time with those different licenses. There's some counties and cities, too, that limit, like, the number of liquor licenses you can have. I've heard some of those things will go for millions in certain areas.
The city councilman literally said to the guy, he said, you should approach that person and try to buy their license.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that would have entailed, because I think the license is tied to a particular address, so that would have literally meant buy the house, I think.
No, I think those kind of licenses are transferable. So you can, like, if you have a liquor license in some of these counties that restrict them, I'm pretty sure you can transfer it to another one. Same thing for the short-term rental. You can transfer it to another location as long as it doesn't impede with somebody else's.
I would say that's probably possible, but I don't know. You know, yeah. It was the Las Vegas County, Clark County, I guess, out there that did that.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, we would be allowed to rent to people if it were more than 30 days. So I could have a company come in, rent it, use it for 2 weeks, and then I couldn't rent it to anyone else until the 30-day period was over. That required no license.
Well,
so a little bit of a loophole there.
This is always annoying to ask, but if you're liking this content, please like and subscribe. It's the best way for us to get more followers and more people engaged in this great business content. You can also follow us on all socials at TurtlesmithOK and find us at turtlesmith.com.
Please like and subscribe.